Live and some other channels. Eine Frage an euch da draußen. Habt ihr Ton? Do you have a sound? Question to the group. Do you have sound? Just a second. Alles okay. Yes, everything is fine. So it works.
It works.
It
Excellent.
works. Very good.
Okay. So my name is Rabbi Yitzhak David Smith, and we have here Dr. Bodo Schiffman and Mrs. Vera Sharav. And I was inspired back in August and September to do this Zoom. And thank God it's happening now. Dr. Schiffman was speaking in Berlin at a press conference, and he was talking about the tyranny of the lockdowns and how the information is being misrepresented and falsified to the people about the pandemic and so forth to, in order to cause people to give up their rights. And one of the things he said is that the Jewish people need to wake up and see what's going on. And it occurred to me that it was a very special opportunity to have Dr. Schiffman, who's a doctor in Germany, German doctor, and he'll introduce himself and speak about his experience and his background. And what if we had a German doctor, a Holocaust survivor, who went through what it was like in Germany in the 1930s and 1940s, and myself, here I am, I'm an Orthodox rabbi, I'm also an attorney in the United States. And what I wanted to bring out, and what we want to bring out today is here we are 75 years after the fascist, the really Marxist, the socialist, national socialist took power in Germany, and they were successful in demoralizing the German people and in convincing them to go along with every measure to be able to control the population using fear, using separating people and labeling people and so forth. But most importantly, in order to take control of the German population, they had to first actually take God out of the system. So they made it into a godless system where everything was based on human logic. And then they were able to convince the people to do whatever seemed to be the best for the state, whatever is the best for people's safety. And they were able to define lives unworthy of life. They were able to start to sterilize people, to euthanize the elderly and the sick. And they just kept expanding the definition of which lives they wanted to get rid of. But the people, the German people, were between the threats and the carrot and the stick, the threats and the giving them certain rights that they would have if only they went along by joining the party and so forth. They were supposed to get more rights or more privileges, and it became harder and harder for the German people to be able to stand up against that until they were just swept up in this tremendous totalitarian control. And I was very impressed at the beginning of last year, March. I saw when I was looking online. I have a background in molecular biology and infectious diseases myself at the University of California, Berkeley, and I was looking. Is there anyone pointing out how there's no proof of causation over here? Is there anyone pointing out how the numbers are being manipulated? If you go online, you would see they would show you how many people are sick, how many cases there are, not sick, I'm sorry, cases. But they would just keep doing a cumulative total of cases. It looked worse and worse and worse. But obviously, people were recovering and they were hiding the numbers of the people that were recovering. So I found that one of the few people that were willing to speak up were actually German doctors, German scientists and researchers, and German people. And I found online videos talking about how this is the fascism of the 1930s, and they were going through the whole system, how the government, the German government, was taking over the country. And so there's a combination of two things happening at one time. There's the medical disinformation, the using to create the fear. But then once the fear exists, then they're coming in with the exact same system of control that they did in 1930. You see, it doesn't matter what is used to cause us fear. In the 1930s and 1920s, already, there was the fear of economic instability, political instability, the fear of the cost. And once they nationalized healthcare and made it government healthcare and so forth, and the government mandatory insurance, everyone was afraid, how much is this guy costing the health system? Everyone started to be turned against each other because people who were sick were expensive. So it doesn't matter what they use to get us afraid, but once we're afraid, then we're willing to have them, the government, solve all the problems. So I was impressed that, and I sat for hours watching these videos trying to understand the German. I understand some Yiddish. I was trying to understand the German because I realized they were identifying a repeat in history that was very important for us to be aware of. So then I saw, I was introduced to Mrs. Sharav, and who's herself a Holocaust survivor. I want her to speak about her experience and background. And Dr. Schiffman was saying that particularly identified that the Jewish people have to wake up to know that we are exactly in the place that we were. But now instead of just being in Germany and Poland and other countries, now it's on a worldwide basis. And now it's not just the Jewish people. It's really the entire world. Every human being is under threat equally. And I used to ask myself the question, are we in 1929 Germany, 1931 Germany, 1934 Germany? You know, people step back from the situation. We look and see one of the big turning points in German history was Kristallnacht. Kristallnacht was when they came and they went through Germany in November 1938, and they destroyed all the Jewish synagogues. They destroyed all the Jewish businesses. And what they did is before they went to burn down the synagogues, they went into the synagogues and they made sure to take the list of all the births, of the whole record, the population records for the Jewish community, because that's how it was maintained in those days. The communities would record all the births and the deaths. And they went into the synagogues. They took all those papers before they burned down the synagogues because they wanted to make sure they had registration control over the entire Jewish population. But the other key thing they did was that they burned down, destroyed all the Jewish shops and stores, and then they made it illegal or very difficult for Jewish people to do business. So I was starting to think about it, and I was like, one second, what happened in March 2020? The governments came and they shut down everyone's businesses. In Kristallnacht, they just shut down the Jewish businesses, and they said, you cannot make a living. It's illegal for a Jewish person to make a living. But now in 2020, March 2020, there was a new Christmas and so forth. And who's allowed to buy? So this is so alarming to see this is happening. But you have to take a step back to be able to understand what's going on, because we have been told over the decades a big lie, and that is that the Nazis were motivated by anti-Semitism, that they're they were just against the Jews. And what the problem with that logic is that we spend our time looking for anti-Semites. But what we don't realize is that the Nazis were really an outgrowth of the population control proponents from Thomas Malthus from the 1700s and 1800s, saying the world cannot have so many people, God forbid. So therefore, they wanted to use war and starvation to reduce the world population. And that's exactly what the Nazis did. They started with the disabled, they started with the sick, then they moved it to the Jews. They said they were going to, Goebbels said, may his name be erased, that once they finished with the Jews, they were going to kill all the Poles and all the Ukrainians and all the Slovaks and so forth. They're the ones that could spark a revival of humanity and an inspiration of humanity to stand up against this. So what happens is today, everyone's like, even the rabbis, many rabbis are saying, oh, it's okay. The government orders to close the synagogues. Those are against everything because we've all been trained to look out for anti-Semites. But the Nazis were not about anti-Semitism. The Nazis were about the state taking control and making the decisions to destroy the population and rework and manipulate the population for whatever objectives the state decided at that moment in time. And some Jews they let live according to certain, and some they were willing to sell. Whatever served the state at that moment in time is what they were willing to do. So I just think it's such a historic opportunity for us to be here. So we have Dr. Bodo Schiffman, who's a doctor in Germany, who understands the significance of what's going on. He sees the big picture. And we have Mrs. Vera Sharav, who has spoken out so beautifully about what's happening now, about how the terrifying parallels, not just the parallels, really a repeat of what happened in Germany, what happened in the Holocaust. And what I hope to, my prayer today is that we can start with a little background from each one of you. We can then give each person's perspective on where we're up to today, what we see happening unfolding from here. And then what I really want to focus on, since we have a worldwide audience, people from all backgrounds all around the world, I really want to focus on what we could do about this. Because the greatest tool of the Nazis and the communists and the people who want to control the population is they don't care if we're upset about this. They don't even care if we see exactly what they're doing. All they want is people should say, you know what, there's nothing that could be done about it, God forbid. As long as people resign themselves and have a sense of despair, it doesn't matter how much we know, doesn't matter how much we object to it, but if we're not willing to do something to stop it, not willing to do something to change the direction of humanity, then the other side is victorious, God forbid. So my hope is that we will focus not just on educating people on what the situation is and what, God forbid, could go worse, but really how we can make this better. So I want to start with Mrs. Sharav. If you could please introduce yourself, tell us some background on yourself, the important work, your own family background, your own personal background, and then tell us about the important work you've been doing opposing medical experimentation on human beings, and how you ended up having such an important role in the discussion today.
Thank you very much for inviting me. And as a child survivor, I was really 3.5 years old when my world collapsed and we were deported from Romania to Ukraine and shoved into concentration camp, Mogilev. I want to stress that, you know, there were more than 2,000 concentration camps. Everyone knows about Auschwitz. Auschwitz was one, and it was a huge one for sure. But there were more than 2,000 that have only recently been discovered. I mean, a lot of this has been buried. One of the things that I have come to conclude is that there are two unique aspects to the Holocaust that are different from all other genocides. And that is the pivotal, important role of first, the medical establishment. The entire medical establishment in Germany and Austria were complicit in every aspect of the murderous process. Doctors in white coats usually selected the victims. They selected those who would be medically murdered under Aktion T4. It began with German infants under the age of 3 and went on to the mentally ill and then to the elderly in nursing homes. The other pivotal contributor was IBM. Their technology, their punch card technology was absolutely pivotal. They are the ones who conducted the census, first in Germany and then in every occupied country. These racial census takers, and they were hired by IBM. They had a contract with Hitler to provide the identity and whereabouts of every Jew in occupied Nazi Axis. They then were able to round up as quickly as they did for the final solution. Historians for a long time couldn't understand how it was done so quickly, so efficiently. That was IBM's contribution. They are the forerunner of our current surveillance technology. So we need to know this is a very, very pivotal issue, because what's happening now is very much dependent on technology and the medical profession. I have made the point that when doctors join forces with government, they discard their ethical, moral, and personal responsibility under the Hippocratic Oath to first do no harm to the individual, the main difference between ethical medicine and other professions is that there is this commitment, an oath by the doctor to the individual patient, not to the greater good, that can be defined in any which way. And we are now seeing this come to a even bigger fruition because the technology is so sophisticated. People, for example, are happy to have something monitor their blood. What they don't know is that that monitor is sending a lot of other information to all sorts of vendors and, of course, government. The sharing of information about all of us, the lack of privacy that we are now living under because of the technology that most actually wanted, because we were told it was, you know, it was efficient, it was convenient, it was easy. But all the while, our privacy was being invaded, and there's nothing we can do about it. So now that it's on a global scale, and if you notice, they have been going after the Western countries, the wealthy countries, really. And when you mention March 2020, what did the Western governments do? In every European country, the United States, Canada, they ordered hospitals not to treat the elderly, to send them to nursing homes, which were totally unequipped medically, as well as unequipped to prevent the spread of infection. So, between 42 and 57% of the COVID deaths in 2020 were in nursing homes. That is an absolute parallel to T4. I don't make it up. It's right there. This was done presumably also to that the hospitals were overwhelmed and we needed beds. Well, guess what? One of the rationales for T4 was to clear up beds for wounded soldiers. We've gotten so deeply into what has been from the get-go, really, eugenics. Eugenics is the poison, the real virus that is underlying public health policies, where it's the individual doesn't count. There's a huge problem with that, as you as a rabbi certainly know. If you abuse the individual, the society is going to be abused as well. A society where individuals, where their freedom, their dignity, their rights are respected, that society lives in peace and is functioning as we should be. But if you separate some as outcasts, you are beginning to open up the door for more and more and more outcasts. This, either it is stopped or all of humanity right now is on the line. Who decides whose life is worth saving? Who decides whose life should be sacrificed? And as far as I agree totally with Dr. Shiffrin, that I think it behooves the Jewish people, together with the German people, I do feel the strongest alignment today with this third generation of German people. They have carried really on their shoulder what their grandparents didn't do, which is to rebel. I know it's very hard for people to rebel against. Everyone says, everyone is doing it. Everyone agrees to take the shot. So therefore it must be okay. I can just tell you one small memory from my childhood where I rebelled. I was 6.5 years old. One of the things that I learned in my odyssey, I was separated from my mother. By then, my father had died in the concentration camp of typhus, it was rampant, an infectious disease that was rampant in the ghettos and concentration camps. And just when the final solution was being started in full force, 1944, I was one of several hundred orphan children who were rescued and allowed to go back to Romania. We were essentially bartered for cash. And en route to Palestine, I befriended a family on the train. When we got to Constanza, which is the harbor, three small boats awaited us. I was ordered to go the boat with all the orphan children, but I refused. I absolutely refused because that family that I had befriended, I trusted that they would take care of me. I was very little, and I didn't want to be with my peers, supposedly. They're bullies and whatever. My instinct was to stay with that family. And there I was, everybody had embarked. And I sat there crying, having a terrible tantrum, just crying, crying, crying. No matter what, I won't go where they're telling me. That act of obedience saved my life. The first night out at sea, a submarine torpedoed the boat with all the children. I was asleep at the time. But the next morning, when I learned about it, I didn't say one word, but I thought to myself, I was right. And, you know, that, I guess, has really, it's indelible in me. I haven't always in my life thought about it at all, but every so often it comes up. And right now, since this whole COVID crisis, which is not the virus that's the crisis, it's the opportunity to use the crisis to as part of a plan. And they even have a big name for it, the Great Reset. I think people need to read what that Great Reset looks like and quickly make up their mind if they want to live in that kind of a universe. So when I heard, we were being told throughout this 14 months about how we should listen to the experts and follow their advice, right? They were made out to be the scientific experts. Well, what did they do throughout? What were their recommendations? Fear-mongering. They helped to create this whole, really, it's a diabolical situation when everyone is walking around with masks, where children are being conditioned to distrust people. It's totally anti-human. And that's what I believe they're trying to do, is they're trying to strip us of our humanity. And I know from my experience that dealing with individual people, that's the most important. I was helped in my odyssey there in Romania by a Romanian Christian family who took me into their home and nursed me back to health. I know the value, and I relied on the kindness of strangers. Without those kind strangers, yeah, what then? Couldn't rely on the state. People need to understand that the connection, the human connection, and our instinct matters. It isn't, they would like to make us into technocrats. You know, we should all essentially be reduced to algorithms. That is the worst curse possible. They already have the technology to read our thoughts. They'll put microchips into us. I think that we are, you asked before about where are we along the path. We're at ground zero. We're absolutely at ground zero. If we don't stop them now, and they go on with those injections, that's the end. And yes, they want to get rid of a great portion of the human race. Bill Gates has been saying that for years. One of the things that happened at that time is nobody believed the ravings of Hitler. Oh, that couldn't really happen. That's the reason the Jews didn't run when they still could. They had time for, there was a period, there were a few years where Jews could have left both Germany and Eastern Europe, but they didn't believe that such things were likely to happen. Well, the same thing is happening now. People don't believe. I am amazed at how quickly people fell into step to do exactly what they were told, social distance and shut down. Look, the fact is that all those businesses that were closed provided tremendous opportunity to profiteer by the big tech companies. And they have indeed profiteered. American billionaires in 2020 increased their already vast wealth by more than $2.2 trillion. Trillion. And the tech companies, each quarter of 2020, they increased their wealth by 27%. So this is a bonanza, a financial bonanza. The parallel with IBM is, again, there were other companies, the major companies, American, Swiss, and German big corporations that profiteered from every step of the genocidal process. I think people need to read The Great Reset to know what the plan is. Hitler also had a plan. Stalin had a plan. They all have plans. These tyrants have plans, long-range plans. And at the same time, I would recommend that people read Schwab Family Values. It's an investigative report. There are now a couple of them about the family of Klaus Schwab, his father, Eugene Schwab, and their company, Escher Wyss, which was both in Austria and Germany. The father provided Hitler with heavy armament and industrial parts, as well as secret technology that nuclear technology. He used slave laborers at the factory in Germany. And Klaus Schwab then took over that business and conducted, provided South Africa under the worst apartheid regime with nuclear weapons. It's important to see the continuum. In other words, the plan is following in the footsteps the Third Reich, and this would be the Great Reset, would be the Fourth Reich, continuing the job that Hitler began. As you said, Hitler had a bigger plan than the Jews, and now they really want to actualize that plan. It's extremely, extremely painful to see that Primo Levi, the author and Auschwitz survivor, he said, it happened. Therefore, it can happen again. It can happen everywhere. What is shocking and terribly sad to see is that the government of Israel is leading in that direction with essentially an apartheid society right now. Those who are vaccinated have privileges and freedom of movement, and those who are not are vilified, not allowed to dine indoors. That's reserved for the special, the privileged. And I ask myself, oh my God, and the people are going along believing a government that is as corrupt as Bibi Netanyahu's government can be. He has been now on a criminal trial for fraud, bribery, right? And they believe his deal with Bourla, Pfizer, the most corrupt pharmaceutical company. These companies that have been given these secret contracts and been given total immunity from liability, they have corporate criminal rap sheets in the United States for all manner of corruption. And of course, that harmed thousands of people, many of whom died from their defective products. We're talking about drugs, vaccines, and medical devices. So these are the companies that we're entrusting the entire population of Israel to? What happened? What happened to freedom of thinking? I mean, I can't fathom it. I can only guess that the education has so indoctrinated people to trust authority. That is a complete abdication of adult human beings. People have to get together, have to stop. You know, we have differences in style and opinions and this, but this is a war. This isn't just one battle. This is a war for survival of the human race as human beings. I don't think it can get any worse. I mean, they're injecting pregnant women, and I just read a report, a group of doctors and lawyers in Israel that came up with data about the adverse effects that have accumulated. It is horrific in every which way, the heart attacks, the miscarriages. I mean, it's huge. The number of deaths that are registered in the United States adverse event reporting system for this since the vaccination began in the middle of December. It's bigger. More people have died during these 3 months than 50 total during 15 years of reports of adverse events from vaccines. This is an illegal experiment that is in complete violation of the Nuremberg Code. People are not being informed about the fact that they are part of a phase 3 clinical experiment. So they have not given informed consent. That is the first major violation of the Nuremberg Code. Furthermore, in a legitimate clinical trial, when serious adverse events occur, you're supposed to stop the trial. You're supposed to stop the trial and find out, ascertain what's causing the problem. And if you can't do anything about it, you can't go on. The Nuremberg Code gave back the dignity of the individual human being to the world. It is the legal and moral document that crosses borders, it's international, and it is in effect in peacetime and in wartime. So by claiming this is a crisis and disregarding Nuremberg, no. The other thing the Nuremberg Code does, which other state regulations don't do, which is it holds the individual doctors or perpetrators accountable. Whereas everyone involved in the COVID vaccination project has been given total immunity from liability. The companies, the distributors, and the doctors and nurses who administer. Such massive immunity is a disincentive to follow safeguards. It's an invitation to do things quickly and without caring about the casualties. So as hard as it is for me to, at this point in my age, to again be faced, and now with much more knowledge, much more understanding, that my life now is at risk even more than then. Governments lie about the casualties. Governments did their utmost to inculcate fear with the false numbers of deaths attributed to COVID, when in fact they were moving them over from all other illnesses, including pneumonia and the flu, everything. Suddenly in 2020, there was no flu. Every year there are tens of thousands of deaths from the flu. Not this year. Everything was COVID. So, you know, and now they are hiding the numbers of casualties from the vaccine. I think that there are thousands of doctors, though. There are thousands of doctors worldwide who are coming out, who are speaking, despite the real hazardous consequences. You know, they're losing licenses, they're losing grants to continue doing their research. They're doing it. Not enough, perhaps, but they are. And so I want to be with those who are willing to speak out, those who will then not have to apologize to their grandchildren, if there are grandchildren. The choice is ours, the choice is individuals. This is really, as they say, the rubber meets the road. Either we do what's right, or we become slaves or worse.
Wow, thank you for your, this is a beautiful, beautiful, moving explanation, both of your own experiences and what's ahead for us. You know, it was interesting listening to you talk about the doctors and the role of the doctors in the Holocaust, which is really critical to understand the massive percentages of the doctors in Germany that became part of the Nazi Party. What's so interesting is people have a couple assumptions about doctors that, and Dr. Schiffman, I'm sorry to pile on the doctors over here, but really people have an assumption that doctors are out to help everybody. And it's not the case. And if you mentioned the Hippocratic Oath, it's fascinating to read the Hippocratic Oath. And you could see that there was a struggle in human civilization at the time, a recognition that the Hippocratic Oath recognizes that a doctor is trained, he becomes exposed to and has the trusted relationship that he's able to very, very easily kill his patients. Mm-hmm. So therefore, the Hippocratic Oath says, you cannot even get any training in the medical arts unless you first swear yes. that you will not use this information to kill a patient, even yes. if they ask you. That no physician-assisted suicide is allowed. The next sentence says after that, it says you will not give a woman anything to help her have an abortion. And it, basically what it's saying is you cannot get any training if you are not don't swear to never use this knowledge to harm human beings.
Right. That's right.
And what we don't realize, everyone knows about the Hippocratic Oath, but what we don't realize is that in the United States of America, the Hippocratic Oath has been phased out over the last 40 years.
Yep.
And most medical schools do not require it. Even those that do require it took out the sentence about the abortion and took out the sentence about the physician-assisted suicide. And all the schools that still have a requirement for some form of the Hippocratic Oath, interestingly enough, they require the Hippocratic Oath at the graduation.
That's right.
Which is the exact opposite of Hippocrates, saying, no, you can't even come to learn with me until you swear that you will not use this against other human beings. So that's number one. People have to wake up and realize that the doctors of today are not like the doctors of old. And one of the other myths is people say, and you brought up the Israeli government and that you mentioned the head of Pfizer and so forth. People don't imagine that the Israeli government could possibly do these things against the Jewish people. And people don't believe that a Jewish doctor could possibly be involved in the atrocities of killing patients, disguising information, not giving treatments to patients, giving people injections that are harmful and disguising the results. But someone pointed this out to me, a very interesting, kind of a shocking, eye-opening statement the person said to me. He said, you know, the truth is that the Jewish doctors were never involved in any of the atrocities in the past. But that's because they were prevented. They were excluded from being able to participate because they didn't want the Jews involved. So in Germany, all the Jewish doctors were thrown out or killed. So they couldn't be part of the atrocities, but there's not something I'd like to think that there's something inherently in the Jewish soul that would prevent a person from descending to such depths. But the practical reality is we see that Jewish doctors are just as much able to get completely disassociated from their godliness, their humanity, and their compassion, and go along with the flow of being willing to be the advocates. Like you see in Israel, Israeli doctors are towing the line. There's many that are courageous and speak up, but they're towing the line because of their fear about their payment, because they think it's a good idea. They endorse and advocate the control mechanisms.
Yes.
And that's what we have to wake up to realize. We've got to drop some of the myths that we're carrying around that assuming that these people are somehow safe to be around. And they're not. We have to evaluate each person. And not only do we have to evaluate for our own well-being, our own medical condition, our own health condition, our own spiritual condition. But we also have to make sure that we're spending time with people that are safe people. And we cannot assume just because of their background or lineage or because they have a medical license that somehow they're safe people. No, we have to check. What do you really believe, doctor? What are you really willing to do for this medical industrial complex? And ask them that straight out. And you can see from their actions, the way that they will not look their patients in their eyes. They will tell people to go ahead and take the vaccine, even when there's all kinds of concerns about it and so forth. So I just wanted to add those two points to the points you're bringing with the doctors, that we really have to wake up to realize that we've been lulled into a sense of complacency about doctors and medicine. Mm-hmm. So I wanted to turn now to Dr. Schiffman. German doctor, tell us about your background, Dr. Schiffman, and you're muted. Don't forget to unmute and tell us some of your insights, what you've learned over the last year.
Yes, first of all, thank for the invitation and getting in contact to me. I was very impressed of both of your speeches. And there's not many to tell, but I want to tell you something about what happened since August. It's getting even worse. In August, when I had the speech with Robert Francis Kennedy Jr., there wasn't nearly the entire population of Israel vaccinated with this deadly poisoning thing they call a vaccination. It's not a cure. It's not even a medicine. It's not even an experiment, because they know very well what they are doing. They had the plans a long time ago, because you're not able to develop such a vaccination in such a short time. So they still had the blueprints in their drawer, and they just put it out, and then overnight the beautiful founder of the German BioNTech, he invented it. One who never invented a vaccination before has done this by chance. This is not a realistic scenario. And right now, I'm afraid the thing happened, which I was afraid of in August when I sat beside Robert Francis Kennedy Jr. Now, nearly the whole population of the Volk Israel, of the people of Israel, are being vaccinated. I'm afraid most of them will die, because this is what we see. This is what we can see from our experience, from the experts all around the world who spoke up. Michael Jeden, Professor Sucharit Bhakti, only to mention two of them. Mm-hmm. They told us what will happen before it happened and how it happens. And they are trying to hide what happens to these people. But I'm also very happy that people all across the globe get together, make Zoom meetings, share their wisdom, and this also gets to the people, because you see now people are not taking their vaccines anymore, and there are vaccines which must be destroyed. And in Africa, where I am, they will follow onto the line of Magufuli, even if they have killed him or if he had died by a heart attack. His work was very worthful. And they will keep on with it. We have good contacts to the government here in Tanzania. We have contacts all over the world. And right now there is a change. Something is changing. I'm very, very thankful that you mentioned the Fourth Reich, and that you mentioned Holocaust, and that you are taking word for it. And because I don't know if you know the attorneys in Germany. I have three attorneys which are going against me, because telling me I am a Holocaust denier, or I am an anti-Semite, or something like that. With them, not, because the reason why I woke up so early in March 2020 and made my first video on March 14th, 2020 was that my parents have fight against Adolf Hitler, and they trained us as children to be very sensitive. Also my sister, also my brother, they also realized this very early, that there is something going completely wrong. And so I took the numbers, I counted how many people die normally, how many people die now, and I came to the same results as Professor Ioannidis did. And first of all, I thought these are good people. Angela Merkel is a good person, and I trust in them, because I never has suspect before. I learned all these things. I got all the vaccinations up to this point, and because I was a believer in that. And how come that a doctor is so stupid like me? Because this is part of our system. When you're a professor, you're a chief in the hospital, you have to follow him. When he gives something, you believe in him. And he is the one who takes your exam. And so you're saying the things you've been trained. And I believe when the Robert Koch Institute say, and the vaccination committee say, you have to vaccinate people, I didn't make my own opinion. This is false. But I'm very happy that in March, there was something like a light going on for me. And I've seen these things. And I've lost nearly everything. My medical office, my homeland. I'm in Tanzania. And I will stay here because it's like you mentioned. People who are in the front line should find the right moment to leave. Because heroes are in a grave, and I want to change something. I think I have a little bit of time to go to the grave. And I'm a father, and I have two children, and I've seen lockdown, and I've seen children wearing masks, and I see children dying when they using this mask. This often was blamed to me. Say, I would use children. They are not dying with this mask. They do. They do, and this is caused by known effects. And I also got this information about the vaccines. And so I shouted out, don't get vaccinations. It's maybe causes your fertile. It's a genetic experiment and all these sort of stuffs. And I'm very, very happy. And next time I would do the same again. But even louder, and I would even more bring the comparison to the Third Reich. Someone in the chat saw a short thing for the German watchers right now. There is 3,200 viewers on DLive. Welcome. I will translate the whole interview for you. You can then download it in German as well. Will take, I think, 2 days, but I will do it. Back to the thing. We have now right now a real good community. I'm very proud of the people in Germany who gone first to the street. They are now in the role of the Jews in the Third Reich. The people called Querdenker or something like this, that are the ones they are after. These are the ones who they are blame. And the people who get the vaccination and follow the line, you don't need to judge them because they will be judged because they will die. This is the truth, I'm afraid. But I want to bring hope. What I see so far in the world is that the Great Reset will not work. It will collapse. There are many, many critical phrases and other countries out of Germany, they are opening because they feel the pressure from the people. And I think Germany as well, the politicians are in a panic situation and they will not succeed. This is what is my feeling. But we will have to see the death in the autumn, in the winter, and then the people will be awake. That's where you say this is maybe the same what they talk about Q. It's the question. It's the question the people seeing now. They are asking questions. They see behind it. They see big tech. They see pharma. They see the connections to the Third Reich. And this is something the people wake up. And it's hard to see it. But this is all the pedophile thing and all these other really unbelievable things that this might be truth, that the people we trust and the politicians are going to kill us. This is hard to believe. And even for friends of mine, I lost many friends. And just today, I talked to an old friend and he got the vaccination. And I say, how come that you don't trust a friend who's your doctor and you believe in Tagesschau, in the news, in the mainstream media? And I told him, take aspirin, so maybe you have a chance that you don't get blood clots. But this is the only thing I can do for you, because pray. God is our God is the God of all children of the earth. It doesn't matter if they are Jewish, Muslims, or Christian, or if they are Indians or whatsoever. It's one God, and we are His children. But we have to believe in Him, and not in vaccinations, and not in politicians, and not in mainstream media. We have to believe in our holy books that we all have, the Torah, the Bible, or even the Quran. These are friendly books, and they are not meant to kill each other. They are meant to help each other. The message is love everywhere and not hate. And this is what I please all people who are going on the street. Don't make the fault to bring in don't use a radical power, so just stay in freedom, and we will succeed, especially because we are now crossing countries. There are people in Germany watching people from America talking to a doctor in Africa. This is good. This is what we can use the media for, and we should use it. And we have to stay on, tell our stories. And Mrs. Sharaf, Vera, this is very, very important that you share your experience with us. And you mentioned also, David, you mentioned about the euthanasia of people, and this also happens. My first video I made in April, it was called Corona 11. In Corona 11, I got a secret letter. The secret letter was how to react when people are older than 80 years, then they should be euthanized. And I've got this secret letter. And it's a real letter. It was the truth. I was the only one who got it. I got it from a politician out of the Bundestag. And he gave it to me, and I said it. And so we could stop this in Germany. This was a real big success. This was the first video ever getting censored. And afterwards, I had also a breakdown, because I thought all people now are after me and they want to kill me. And it took me prayer to come back to normality, and it helped me a lot. But this euthanasia, this was real. The pharmacies in Germany, they got letters. They should order barbiturates, relaxants, and narcotics to kill people. There should be teams to be sent out in the home of the elderly, something like that, that they don't go to the hospital to kill them. In the home of the elderly. This is what, if you don't know it, have a look at Corona 11. This is my video where I show this. We were able to stop this. And I'm very proud that this had happened. And we will be able to stop the vaccination in the world when we work together. This week, tomorrow, I have a meeting with Curaçao. There also are people who are asking me for an interview, and I'm so happy that these people come. And I'm so happy that both of you gone to Rainer Füllmich, to the Corona Ausschuss, and give your knowledge and wisdom to him, and that we share this. And this time we will end it forever. Someone in the chat has written, the Third Reich isn't over. He's right. These words, absolutely true, because the Nuremberger Prozesse, this was just 10 medics which have been sued. Most of them get after this process high positions in German medicine. The same to the judges, the same in the business. So these people are still alive, and they are going on, and now they want to have their third, fourth, or whatever, right, the great reset, and they want to have the guide stones, that they fulfill them, the 10 sayings on that. This is crazy stuff what we are, and it's hard to believe, and it's hard to see that the people we have trusted in, we have voted for, are willing to kill our children, are willing to give vaccinations to pregnants, are willing to give vaccinations to babies, to youngsters, people who will never die to COVID-19, which, my opinion, is just the flu. It's just another name for the flu. The flu can't be away. We know it since the antique. The flu is gone, and there is a disease with the same symptoms. So this is no new disease. This is just a new name for an old disease. And we can treat it. We have to get the people out of fear. People don't need any treatment. Also no alternative treatment. As long as we are talking about treatment for a disease which there is no need to treat, when 99.9% survive, then we have to stop talking about this. And when someone gets in danger, then on the world there are beautiful doctors on the ICUs, and they know how to manage a flu. And this is what it is. And this is what I'm very, very angry when I look at my medical colleagues, because it's so obvious. It's so unbelievable obvious that people, you tell them to stay away from each other, they do it. They wear masks. They get vaccinations. It's like swallowing antibiotics when you have not an infection. This is crazy stuff. So I don't know how they manage it. This is just a fear. If we can release the fear, the show is over. So don't talk about a deadly disease. It's a flu, and we can treat the flu. We have done this all years before, and we are very successful. As long as we are not trying to invent a new medicine, we don't need to invent a new medicine. We need to take care of each other. We need to take care of ourselves, of our beloved. We have to remember we are man with a heart. The mankind should take them in their arm. When someone is ill, then you have to go to this person and help him to get well again, and not to be afraid of a deadly disease. This is so stupid. But we will succeed. We will get it, because we are getting in contact every day more, and the people, they see it, they follow us, they share these videos, they are talking about it. Even if they are not, in my opinion, they are talking, and they are getting suspicious. They are getting suspicious, and they say, oh, I'm waiting. I don't take this vaccination now, maybe later. So this is success. And they never thought of Susharit Bhakti and Wolfgang Wodak, who were the first, on Klaus Könlein. These are the three heroes of the disease. Klaus Könlein, Wolfgang Wodak, and Susharit Bhakti. They realized there's something is wrong with this disease. And they spoke out, and they are my personal heroes in this whole corona circus. When I have seen Klaus Könlein and I have seen Susharit Bhakti, and then I said, okay, you're not on the wrong track. You have to go on, investigate, and go further. And this is, I'm very thankful for them, for their work.
Yeah, thank God for people speaking up, and thank you for your beautiful words. You know, you told me earlier when we were speaking before, you mentioned that once March 2020 came, they stopped teaching about the Third Reich and the Holocaust and the fascism in German schools. Tell us a little bit about that.
Yes, normally this is part of the education, that you show Hitler, you show the propaganda, you show how the Jews have been treated, and also how the unwürdiges Leben in Germany, so not worthful living, what they did, and they showed you who is Goebbels, how did they do it. So they leave this time of history because they're doing the same. They don't want to be that you talk about. And this is something which also startled me very early. They stopped taking it out of the school at March 2020.
It's fascinating what you're saying. And also, you mentioned being accused of being a Holocaust denier. That's the technique. The real Holocaust deniers are these Holocaust organizations that want everyone to miss the point. They don't want people to realize the techniques and the controlling of mentality. Like Mrs. Sharab was talking about earlier, we were talking about getting rid of the people that were a burden on society. It's a whole mentality that is easily replicated. And my teacher, the Lubavitcher Rebbe, was asked in 1964 by a New York Times reporter who came to meet with him in his office. And the New York Times reporter asked the Lubavitcher Rebbe, could there be a Holocaust in America? And the Rebbe answered, Morgan in the free, which means tomorrow morning. So what's the Rebbe talking about? The Rebbe would say that America is a nation of kindness. Its people in America are good. America has good intentions generally, because the Rebbe understood how people's minds could be manipulated in literally a 24-hour period, that they could believe that it's best for everyone to get rid of a whole part of society and kill people. That's how fast it can happen. And the manipulation. So the real Holocaust deniers are the people who say it can't happen. You can't use the historical examples. You can't say that people are acting like the Nazis. You can't say this is like fascism. They're trying to turn the Holocaust into a one-time historical thing, as if somehow the Germans had a anti-Semitic seizure and they just went after the Jews, which is not what happened. It was part of a process of you're talking about the Great Reset. The Great Reset started already before that, and before World War I, where they came to destroy the monarchies. They came to destroy the whole order of Europe. And then the Second World War was really a continuation of the First World War. And like you said, the Third Reich, when did it end? They put a few prominent people on trial. But the SS and the Gestapo, they became, in East Germany, they became part of the Stasi. They went. They were teaching, these Nazis were the ones teaching the terrorists in the Middle East how to be terrorists. They were the same people. And then in the West, a whole lot of the Nazis went and actually were brought to the United States and became scientists in the United States, because it's about a mentality. It's a state mentality that the state uber alles, the everything, the state is uber alles, like Mrs. Schraub was saying so beautifully before. We have to talk about the individual. Healing is about a doctor who believes in God as the source of healing, wants to help patients, knows the individual patient, and knows the disease. He or she has the ability to be a helpful healer and help this person get back on track. But public health, it's about making big pronouncements for everybody. The doctors don't know the disease. They don't know the patients, and they don't believe in God, and they don't believe that God is the source of healing. So it's a completely detached mechanical system of just improving the outcomes. Public health is about using government control to improve the statistics, whatever statistics you choose today to be the statistic that is your goal. That's what they have as public health. So I just want to encourage you on not being afraid of these people who accuse you of Holocaust deniers. And I'll share with you that when in March 2020, when this was really starting to unfold and they were coming and closing the synagogues, I was like, there's a book I need to read. What's that book? I need to read Mein Kampf from Adolf Hitler. May his name be erased. Because what I realized when I opened his book and started reading it, I literally sat down and I had bought it years ago, and I had it on my shelf, and I was like, what's going on over here? And I read large portions of the book. And what was fascinating, what I realized, is the man was not a raving lunatic. He was a very sophisticated, he and whoever, I think Hess helped him write the book. He was very sophisticated in being able to take people step by step through a logical progression to identify the danger to German society, and then say that the danger is the social democrats, it's the Marxists, and then say the Jews are the Marxists, and then they say the Jews can't be rehabilitated, the only solution is to, God forbid, get rid of the Jews. But if you, when you read it, he's not ranting. He's speaking to the average German, and he's walking him through a propaganda process to change their thinking about what the solution to the process, to the problem is. So it's actually very, very well thought out. It's extremely well constructed. And when I read it, I realized, wow, this is how they're doing that. They're doing the exact same thing. The Mein Kampf, but just a different, today the danger is not the Jews. The danger is the unhealthy people. The danger is the expensive people that cost, you know, have a lot of health issues. The danger is the elderly. It's the disabled. It's the people who don't get vaccinated because they're not healthy, according to their approach. It's the people who consume too much. All these lies, the people who have big families. These are all the lies of the cult of scarcity that, and they're using, Hitler wrote this out in a very clear way, how to manipulate the minds of people. And it's very interesting that Amazon recently banned Mein Kampf. You can't even go buy it. Why do they want to ban Mein Kampf? It's not because someone's going to read it and decide that he believes Hitler's conclusion. It's because they're afraid that people will read Mein Kampf and they'll suddenly realize what they're, how they're being played with again today. Just like you're saying, in the German schools, they're taking this teaching out of the school because then the kids don't realize, they're disoriented. They have just a vague, you know, remembrance that they heard something about something that happened a long time ago, but they don't, they can't see how it's being repeated right now. So I think that just, I want to encourage you in that and realize the importance of continuing to stay that message and say openly, this is a, you want to call it the continuation of the Third Reich, the beginning of the Fourth Reich, whatever it is, that the terminology is not so important. It's the willingness to admit that those that have come out to make a war against God and make a war against humanity have never stopped from the beginning of time. They've never stopped. They've tried every single combination. And unfortunately, with the world population today is only 8 billion people because of their success in eradicating hundreds and hundreds of 500 million human beings have been murdered by governments over the last 100 years. Since the communist revolution of Russia, and China, Germany, every one of these places, just hundreds of millions of people, really the world population today. And if we want to talk about positive direction, how we're going to go in a positive direction, the world population should be 80 billion people. That's really our target. Instead of just fighting the great reset and saying, you know, I don't agree to this. I want my private property. I want my meat, you know, these kind of things. We have to realize it's a war over our minds and our hearts to believe that the world is run by God, and God has the ability to not only give us everything we need at 8 billion people, but at 80 billion also. And that's what we have to recognize. The real battlefront is in our minds and our hearts. So I wanted to just take a moment before we could talk about how we could stop this. And both of you touched on this a little bit, but I just wanted to share a little bit about where I think this is going, because a lot of people today are very much focused on the masks, on the vaccines, and so forth, which are definitely very, very serious issues. But I think that what's the real issue is underlying behind the scenes is a systemic change in the entire provision of medical services, decisions as to who is essential, not essential. And like you were saying before, Dr. Schiffman, the lives unworthy of life, God forbid to say such a thing, but that's what their attitude is, essential, non-essential, who's allowed to work, who's allowed to make a living, who's not. And also it's very interesting today in America, they talk about who's eligible for the vaccine and who's not eligible. It's a whole classification structure that the state is imposing to decide who gets, they're claiming the vaccine is life-saving. They say that the vaccine is going to save people's lives, but then they decide that they tell people that the government is in control of deciding who is eligible to get this life-saving vaccine today. And you can't get it unless you're on the list. It's a whole change in thinking that's extremely, extremely dangerous. So I wanted to share with you an article from the Wall Street Journal today, because people think this is almost over. And what they don't realize is this is only beginning. So the whole goal here is not just to get people to wear masks and shut down their businesses. It's not just to get people to take the vaccine. It's about getting people into a tyranny, a whole lifestyle that will control them, and everything that they're doing will be based on their health status. Now, one of the things that they're promoting in the Wall Street Journal today is at-home COVID-19 tests might cost too much for regular use. So the way that the propaganda works is they always say this is something that would be good, but it's all kinds of obstacles to letting it happen. And that's supposed to make people interested in this idea and think it's a good idea. It's such a shame that it's too expensive. And of course, the government will step in and help reduce the cost. So what does it say? Rapid paper strip tests are arriving at pharmacies with price tags of 20 or more for two tests. Now, if you go through this article, you'll see here's what the intention is. Many health authorities, I'm reading right here, many health authorities have been looking forward to the introduction of fast-acting tests, which people could take at home to see if they are infected. The paper strip tests also could help curb the spread of coronavirus, supporters say, if people use them a few times a week. So the goal here is that everyone is going to be taking these tests constantly, a few times a week. So instead of having you have to go to the testing center, you're going to have these tests, these strips in your house, and you're going to take the test. And then what's going to happen is if you read this article, you see how it's a whole sophisticated system where when you take the test at home, you're connected to an advisor and to an app on your phone. Once you take this test and you test positive, you will not be able to get out of your house because you are now labeled on your phone as being a person who has this case. You're now a case. Now, where does all this come from? So let's take a look at another article here from Bill Gates. Bill Gates, as everyone knows, is a person who's been speaking, just like Dr. Schiffman was making videos from the beginning. Bill Gates has been making videos at the beginning. And if you read carefully what he talks about, very, very sophisticated presentation of what the future holds in a way that we all agreed to it. We all agreed to this system. So his idea is the whole world has to be locked down, not only until everyone takes the vaccine, but until everyone gets tested constantly. And then if anyone tests positive, they will be pinpointed, removed from their houses, and put in special isolation centers to prevent the spread. And we know that the World Health Organization has said that the biggest problem of spread is in families. So they want to take people out of their families and put them in these isolation centers. Now, here's the key. Everyone thinks we could talk about the dangers of the vaccine. We could talk about whether you should take the vaccine or not. But let's talk about where the masses are at. The masses believe that as soon as they take this vaccine, they will be relieved from the torture and the upheaval and the restrictions. And what they're missing is, no, this is going way beyond that. So if you watch here carefully, this says this is Gates Notes 2021 annual letter. You can get it on gatesnotes.com. The heading over here is preparing for the next one. Okay, this is section 3. Section 1 is a year like any other. It's a review of last year, emerging from the pandemic, preparing for the next one, and creating a brighter future. Now, I just want to point out over here where their thinking is already at. He has an article, he has in the beginning of his letter here, which he writes with his wife. He says, by the time you're reading this, most of you have probably already received the vaccine. It is possible that by the time you read this, you or someone you know may have already received the vaccine. The vaccine for Mr. Gates is already old news. Now it's just a matter of getting everyone to do it and figuring out how to get rid of the people who, you know, get the people who are resisting, get them on board. But now let's talk about what's next. So it's not too soon to start thinking about the next pandemic. And here he writes, when's it going to get back to normal? Right? So he doesn't say it's going to get back to normal tomorrow after you take your vaccine. He says, we have to now make sure that we are prepared for the next pandemic. We don't know when it's going to be, whether it's going to be a flu, coronavirus, or some new disease you've never seen before. And he writes over here in the note, as scary as it is to imagine, the next pandemic might even be the result of bioterrorism. So you might wake up in the morning and read in the news that some little vial was released in the center of some city and people are sneezing, and therefore there'll be some major event. Now, he's got this coalition for epidemic preparedness innovations. Now, here's what I want you to see. You could read all this. It's worth reading this. Everyone should read this because you should need to read between the lines and understand where this is going. To start, governments need to continue investing in the scientific tools that are getting us through this current pandemic, even after COVID-19 is behind us. New breakthroughs will give us the leg up the next time a new disease emerges. It took months to get enough testing capacity for COVID-19 in the United States. But it's possible to build up diagnostics that can be deployed very quickly. By the next pandemic, I'm hopeful we'll have what I call a mega diagnostics platform, which would test as much as 20% of the global population every week, okay? This is telling you what's next. What's next is mega diagnostics platform. What they wanna do is the whole world is gonna be tested every 5 weeks, okay? So one way to do this is have these testing centers. Right now in the United States, many places for particularly government jobs, other jobs, you have to get tested every week before you come to work. But now we go back to the Wall Street Journal article. The Wall Street Journal article is letting us know where this is going. So this is the man who's on behalf of the people that have great plans for the world. This is the general blueprint right here. But now it's being implemented. So the Wall Street Journal is already leaking out the propaganda that the tests are here. The problem is, my friends, the Wall Street Journal is saying, it's too expensive. People are not going to spend $20 for two tests and take four tests a week. That's $40 a week. That's $160 a month. People can't afford that. So now there has to be a solution to that problem, which is to give everyone cheaper tests. But you could see what they're building over here is a whole system that when you go and get your vaccine, you're still going to have to get tested. Once you opt in to their way of thinking that there's a danger in the world, that there's something to be afraid of, that you need them to help you keep you safe, then you're going to be into this whole testing system. So the reason I wanted to bring this to the forefront over here is because I've said from the very beginning, in a certain way, the vaccines are almost like a distraction. The vaccines, people are saying, take the vaccine, don't take the vaccine. We're going to argue over that. But we don't realize that at the end of the day, they don't care whether you take the vaccine. As long as enough people get into the system of taking the vaccines, there's going to be the first vaccine, the second vaccine, the third vaccine, the fourth vaccine, the boosters. And then there's going to be the variants vaccines. And then there's going to be all the new pandemics that they have. And then they're now, you watched, by the way, the propaganda signs in the highways in America. They're saying COVID-19 is just a small problem compared to cancer, and they want to introduce cancer vaccines. So it's a whole new lifestyle that's going to be constant, unrelenting of medical tyranny and public health tyranny. So this is what's happening as we speak, and the groundwork is being laid out, and what you would expect is that the next, you know, Save America from Coronavirus legislation, they're going to be getting money to give everyone these, and you're going to be expected to take these tests a couple times a week, like they're doing in some of the schools. The kids are being tested a few times a week, or at least once a week, and this is their real goal. So they will control everybody, God forbid, through this. So I think that's just important for us to keep perspective and understand where we're up to, where they're going, where they're heading, what they're accomplishing, what their goals are. And they're also, you'll see in many, many states in the United States, even though the people are getting vaccinated, they're still leaving the state of emergency staying in place. They want a permanent state of emergency to constantly be able to. So today they decided no more mask, let's say in a particular state, no mask mandate, but they kept the state of emergency in place so they could just bring it back in 3 weeks based on the numbers that they work on behind the scenes. So I wanted to share. So I want to happy to hear if you have any comments on that. But I also wanted to share, and maybe able to give a minute to Mrs. Sharav to say where you think things are going and where the next thing is, and then we'll talk after that. We'll talk about how we can build a not the bright future that Bill Gates wants, but the bright future that God wants. Mrs. Sharav, you have anything you want to add? Let me just get you unmuted over here. Okay, unmute.
Okay, can you hear me now?
Yes.
I think that there are two things here. The control also goes along with mega profits. Just think about what all of these testing scenarios. I mean, this is a whole big system of diverting money from the public purse for everything is intense in these quasi-medical public health arena. The ones who are in it, Bill Gates, I mean, he makes trillions of dollars every time he suggests one of these things, because that's these massive projects are under public-private partnerships. Private-public partnerships exempt them from all public oversight. Those contracts are always secret. The companies deal at the same time, simultaneously, with the surveillance agencies, the CIA, the FBI. All that is secret. So they're using it. It's a multi-pronged kind of thing. It's a business investment and a control gateway. And the two go together. I think that bowing out from one may get you out of the other one. In other words, if you say no thank you, if enough people say no thank you, then they can't do it. But it really requires a mass, a mass nonviolent, but resistance. This is where the question is, are enough people now beginning to realize that this isn't going to be over unless they bring the end to it? The authorities are not going to end it. It works in their interest. They don't need public voting in order to launch these things and to continue them. All they need to do, as you say, is to declare an emergency, whether there is one or not. And this allows all the mini dictators in the United States, every governor, to issue what they want. And whenever the spotlight shone, as it did, for example, with Governor Cuomo, who has deals. Okay, so first of all, he is personally responsible for the extinguishing of 15,000 human lives. That's the nursing homes in New York. Before he issued his murderous order, he knew exactly what he was doing. He said the virus in nursing homes would be like fire through dry grass. What could be more explicit? And then he ordered it. Now, he first gave immunity to the hospital association, all hospitals and nursing homes. Again, he knew what he was doing. He has made contracts with IBM for the Health Pass, the Excelsior in New York State. He has also made contracts with Bill Gates for education. I suppose that has to do with remote Zoom education. These are the ways in which this is very big money. And I think it's terribly important to keep that in mind. In other words, they're not doing it just ideology, okay? The godless and dehumanizing way that they really are after changing our humanity. But they are making huge money. They are transferring the people's wealth through these initiatives. It's very important to understand that, because then you realize, no matter what, if there's a lot of money involved in something, go for that. Take a big flashlight and look at that, because that's the decisive aspect.
Right. And it's so interesting, you know, look at Germany. So many industrialists, so many big bankers, so many people, both in the United States and in Germany, they profited tremendously from the buildup of the Third Reich. And it dovetails entirely. You have the committed ideologues that believe in their plans for the Reich and then destroying people and destroying humanity. And then you have industrialists who, some of them believe that also. They're part of that whole ideology. But then there's others that are like, well, they want to jump on the bandwagon and profit from it and help build the tanks and the cars and the hospitals and the killing centers and so forth. Or like you brought IBM, is going to do the data. There's pictures of Tom Watson with Adolf Hitler sitting together. We don't necessarily know each individual, whether they are an ideologue or whether they are just a profiteer, but it comes together in a very comprehensive way, and also in a very successful way, that the motivations are, yes. Everyone's got their motivation, everyone has their drive.
That's right.
Dr. Shipman, do you have something you want to add? You're muted.
Yes, just looking for the button. No, this is absolutely true, what you mentioned. I don't see the future so black that I think every people have to go to the street. I think right now many people are starting to discuss about this thing. So there is something in progress, and I have the feeling that they are trying to get a little break out. I'm more concerned about how to stop them to get out, because this, as Bill Gates mentioned, the same thing you find from the Johns Hopkins University, where they have the scenario for the next pandemic, which starts 2025 and is ongoing then. So there is another script which they can follow. And I think they realized they started too early and they made some mistakes, and they don't want the people to die so early from this vaccination. This is something which was not planned. And we got too much attention right now. The resistance in Germany and in Austria, Switzerland, they're doing a very good work. So I am afraid they want to take an emergency exit and start 2025 again, because they tried it once before. Remember the swine flu? It was 2009, the same actors, the same things. Everything was similar, but then the technique was not good enough. And now they see also in lands like Africa, this is the good thing when you are in a country where the people don't have the money, that in every home is a TV. So they are not afraid. They are going to the street. You can't scare them. Without a TV and without a flat rate on your mobile phone, you can't scare them. So the internet here is very bad, and this is very good, because you can't reach the people. They just ignore COVID-19. They're going to the market and they say, oh, COVID-19, heard about it, but I don't know anybody. I'm not scared of it. And so this is not the... You only get scared. I've been in a hotel in Arusha because I met two interesting persons there. And in the eating room, there are two big flat screens, and there's running CNN the whole day. Yeah. And CNN, you got it. You're in New York. You know how this looks. The whole day, you only see masks, ICU units, dying people, doctors dressed up like they're going to make a heart transplantation and something like this. And this is how the people are getting scared. Also in this hotel, they are looking at this screen the whole day. Ooh, they thought there is something really bad happened. And here in Africa, no one cares. And I talked to people who had the number, the official numbers, and they told me there was a slight increase in death in March and April 2020 because the people are scared. And afterwards, it's gone back to normal. And they say, okay, we do have about 20 to 30 dead COVID-19 positive persons in the hospitals, but we have around 200 HIV death in the same period. So don't talk with me about COVID-19. We have other problems. And this is because just they are not are under permanently fire of the mass media. And Magufuli, the president of Tanzania, did something very clever. He stopped this television that the people are getting afraid of, and he stopped Twitter. And this was, in this case, a good idea. You can reach it if you like to, but it's a little bit difficult to reach it. And so he just, the people are without fear, and without fear, there is no disease, and the people are not dying. This is what my driver told me when we go to this country. So here you see the people in the market. There are so many, no one wears a mask. There is no good hygienic. The people are not afraid, and no one dies. That's what he said. If they were telling the truth and we are wrong, then there must be masses of dead people, especially in Tanzania, because they've done nothing, and it worked. To do nothing is the best cure.
Right. And I'm so happy to hear you say that, because I hear even among doctors who are aware that the numbers are being manipulated with COVID-19, but they'll say things like, you know, everyone should take ivermectin prophylactically. Everyone should take hydroxychloroquine prophylactically, or everyone over 45. And I think it's just misleading people into thinking there's this tremendous danger and that the only solution is some medical intervention. When in reality, the fact is that people are on their own immune systems that God Almighty has created in us has the ability to handle this, and not only handle it for the vast majority of people. Most people who died, I would say, in the hospitals died of the terrible treatment, either because they were neglected, they were taken off, they were not given fluids, they were not given food, they were put on ventilators when they shouldn't have been put on ventilators. So the whole idea that the medical intervention is the solution is just so wrong. And we just have to be on guard against that, to realize that there are people pushing all kinds of solutions which we don't need. Humanity does not need those solutions. We don't need the ventilators, and we don't all need to be on ivermectin or hydroxychloroquine to save us. So
yes, sorry to interrupt you, but this is as the thing I said. So let me do my job, because I'm ENT doctor, or ORL, as you might say in the US. So my business, my profession, and what I earn money with is airway infection. And coronavirus is something which I knew, and the flu is something which I treat. And I have to decide if a people is so badly suffer from a disease that he has go to a hospital. And I don't realize how few tests I made in my life, because I've been told by my very good professor I learned, he said, it's your job without making tests to recognize what a patient suffers from. When you only can do this when you have a PCR test, then you are a bad doctor. You have to know your cases, and you have to know, is this a rhinovirus or is this a deadly flu? And as far as I see, I have not killed many people.
Thank God. You know, we're talking about what's going on in the world and the tremendous challenges, and we talk about the history and seeing the repeat of history. And you mentioned earlier, Dr. Schiffman, about how this was so heartbreaking for you. You suffered tremendously from this until you were kind of rejuvenated. And what I see also, I agree with you 100%. Our hearts cannot bear what the eyes see and what the mind understands. When we look in the world and we see in the vast majority of places, people just going along with this, whether in Israel and in Europe and America and so forth. And now in India, they're pushing the whole narrative that there's all these people dying from this. The heart is not capable of withstanding that pain. And it actually says in the Bible, in the Torah, it says that you'll see things that your heart can't, you can't even believe that you're seeing. And the greatest tragedy of our times, in addition to the elimination of the people and the killing of people and so forth, but it's just that the watching people be so close-minded, trusting the cult of experts, trusting the temple of scientific wisdom, and saying, well, and only a portion of science, meaning that trust, go with the science, it's only a certain portion of the science. So my question to you is, what do you think is the answer to be able to help with our hearts? Like Dr. Shimon said before, it's about love. How do we reach more people? You know, you said there's over 3,000 people watching this right now. That's wonderful. But I suspect the 3,000 people that are watching are mostly people who already have heard some of us speak before, have heard these ideas, they're open to these ideas. But how do we reach the rest of humanity that's not getting it yet? What are your thoughts?
Day by day. Day by day, this is the answer. Because when I produce videos, I produce a lot of videos in the whole time. But I always hope that this time another one will look at it. So this is, we can't get the mass media. You can make some little tricks. I told them in my channel, you can take a smartphone on your ear and go like this to a supermarket and say, oh, did you hear? Bill Gates has written there will be a new pandemic and he is planning this. And people like to listen to other people who are having a cell phone. And so just talk loud, imagination things. So people are dying from a vaccine. No, really? Yes, you know some. So this is a very good trick. Everybody who listens here can do this. And this spreads because you need people to be suspicious. So they have to suspect there's something going on. And maybe at home they have a look. What did he say? There are people dying with sinus thrombosis in the brain because they get a vaccination, and you can have a look after it at CDC, at the gov.uk, the Paul Ehrlich Institute, and so on. This is the way you will succeed. And there are right now many people, especially I heard this from Israel. I've got some letters from Israel, and they're telling me everybody knows somebody who has heart problems, heart disease, a stroke, a thrombosis, something like this, or a skin rash, or something like this. And this is something people realize. And nobody knows personally somebody who has died on COVID-19. They know people with a positive PCR test which have died and called COVID-19, but they didn't knew people who are on the ventilation machine fighting for their life with a COVID-19 test. So this is the thing which happens right now. You have the contact to Israel, Rabbi, so I think you can give me also some informations to this. That's so far I heard. Everybody knows somebody with a heart attack, with other problems, neurological problems, stroke, and something like this. And this will wake up the people.
God willing. Mrs. Shirav, you have a thought on how to reach more people?
Well, one of the things that people need to realize is that they are being controlled. Their mind is being controlled. And mind control is exactly the sophisticated way to get people to do their bidding. People don't like to be told that they're not in control of their own decisions. So I think we need to tweak that, to show them it's time for you to evaluate for yourself. Don't just listen to what Anthony Fauci says this day because it's going to change his mind tomorrow. This is beginning to reverberate a little bit. And you can tell that it's reverberating because he gets all these honors to pump up his stature. So he got an honor from Israel. He's getting an honor from the Pope. How many more? There's always, in other words, try to show, be a little skeptical. Use your normal way of evaluating things. This is no different. You're being overwhelmed. I think what Dr. Schiffman said is so true. Part of the reason for the lockdowns was so that all you do all day long is watch television news. Right. That's exactly, they've got you in a cage.
It's so sad what you're saying, but it's true. And I think also there's two parts to it. One is we have to recognize our minds are being played with, and as I said before, in two different directions. One is to try to get us to comply. But for those of us who don't want to comply, their other mind game they're playing with us is don't do anything. It's not going to help. So everyone gets very much, so to speak, self-focused and self-centered that, as long as I'm okay and I don't have to wear a mask where I go, or I don't have to do this, or I'm safe from the vaccine, people let down their guard and they're not really activated because they don't think anything is going to help. So we have to recognize that the mind game is both getting us to comply, and if we don't comply, at least don't do anything. And we have to recognize that where that thought is coming from. It's a propaganda thought. And I wanted to share a few stories. We've been talking a lot about the Germans and the Nazi regime. And I just wanted to share a few stories, and maybe Dr. Schiffman will have even more because he was raised in a family that taught him to fight and resist Hitler. So you feel free to add to what I'm going to share over here. Mr. Schraub, you mentioned before the Action T4 program. And when the German people started to realize how people were being euthanized and the elderly and the children being euthanized, this is under Hitler in 1939, there were actual demonstrations in the streets to stop it. And it forced the government to go underground, meaning to say they were not able to do it as a official program anymore. And instead they did it, they killed the elderly through starvation in the hospitals and denying them fluids. Exactly what we saw this year in the United States in the hospitals and other countries, just starving the patients. So we see that even under Hitler, and we have to remember that for the German people, there was the Gestapo in the streets, the SS, this was part of their daily life. There was the threat of arrest and speaking up against the party and especially against the Führer was definitely a danger. And yet they still spoke up. They demonstrated against this. They were successful in forcing the government to go underground. So that just shows you what's possible, no matter how totalitarian it looks like. We still have the ability to resist and to create public and vocal resistance. I'll tell you also a story I heard from a professor of virology, a researcher, German fellow, and he told me that his father was in a field hospital. His father was a doctor in Germany, an actual medical doctor during the war, and he was a field doctor, in a field hospital in France with the German army. And he explained to me that in Germany, you had to either join the party, you had to join the party, you had to join the Nazi party. The only way you could get exempted from joining the Nazi party, I guess for the doctors, like his father, was if you join the army. So here this doctor, a non-Jewish doctor, obviously he was in Germany. He so opposed the Nazi party that he refused to join the Nazi party. And he put his life at risk by going and becoming a doctor in the front lines in France, because joining the army was the only way that he could keep himself from joining the party. And it just shows you that's an individual example of resistance of a person who every person could say, no, I don't want, I'm not joining this party, whether it's an official party registration or it's the party line. And there are other options. And he raised his children to see this and to know that they're not going to join the party line. And this professor was someone who was very outspoken. You see, it goes from generation to generation. He was very outspoken. And by the way, that goes to what does it help if I do something? I'm only one person, because you're educating your children. Your children will see this, just like Dr. Schiffman and Mrs. Sharavan, and I've seen in my own examples in life that you see how your parents teach you not to go with the flow, not to go with the crowd, instead to think independently. My father refused to bring a television into our house. When I grew up, I never had a television. And he said, why would I open a sewer into my house, a sewer line that's just going to dump whatever someone else is thinking into my brain? And this is going back to the, you know, for decades already. And it shows you now I could think independently because I was not brought up on this whole messaging system that's constant messaging in the cartoons and messaging in the sitcoms, and everything's sending the same messages. So that's every individual's actions counts. I want to talk to you about an act of amazing doctor resistance. When the Nazis went into the Netherlands, into Holland, they had introduced the system where everyone had to be treated to maximize their potential contribution, their actual contribution to the workforce. And the Dutch doctors realized what that meant is that if someone was not going to be working at full productivity, they were going to be eliminated. And the doctors were being told that they had to like grade people, and this whole treatment system was now going to be shifted to the state being the primary loyalty of the doctors, not the patient as the loyalty of the doctor, but rather the state. And they had to now make sure that everyone was functioning at full capacity. So the doctors realized what this meant, and they refused to participate. So the Germans went ahead and they said, okay, we're going to take away all your licenses. We will not let you practice medicine anymore. And the Dutch doctors, all the Dutch doctors, took their licenses and they delivered them in one delivery. They delivered all the license to the Gestapo headquarters, and they said, here are our licenses. And then the doctors continued to treat patients privately in their own homes, even though they didn't have licenses anymore. And eventually the Germans tried to escalate it by taking 100 doctors as a message and sending them to concentration camps and so forth. But the point is that we all have the ability to resist, and these type of courageous examples are very important. The stories of our forefathers and our examples are so important to share with people. And I'll share with one last story. The king of Morocco, Morocco had a large Jewish population. And the Nazis, the Germans came to Morocco during the war, and they decided that it was too difficult to ship all the Jews back to Europe. So they decided they were going to build a concentration camp and a death camp in Morocco. And they came to the king of Morocco and they said to him, we want you to turn over all the Jews. So he said to them, no, he's not going to do it. Now, the Morocco was completely outnumbered. I mean, the German forces and the Panzer divisions and what they could have done and what they were capable of were, you know, it didn't take any imagination to realize that the Moroccan armed forces would be completely outmatched. But the king of Morocco said, no, that was it. That's the end of the discussion. And he later on said that at the time that the Germans were telling him that they wanted him to turn over all the Jews, he remembered that his father, the previous king, had told him on his deathbed that whatever happens, he should always make sure to protect and take care of the Jews. And so when the Nazis came to him and said, turn over the Jews, he remembered what his father said on his deathbed, and he said no. But what does that show us? That shows us that the Nazi, this huge Third Reich, the Nazi Gestapo, SS, the Panzer divisions, they could all be stopped with one man saying no. And that's what's so important to remember, is that all we have to do is say no, because in all the other countries, many of the other countries, the difference was, and the outcome for the Jews and for the non-Jews that ended up in the concentration camps, the difference was that in those countries, the leaders said, yes, oh, here's the list. Yes, come in, you know, whatever help you need. That was the difference. And so I just think it's so important to remind us that God gives us the strength. And I want to hear your thoughts, and I'm sure you have stories of your own, but to really give people the understanding that our brains are very limited. We see bad things happening, and we see bad plans, and we look at the historical examples, and the outcomes were not so good. But we have to realize that we have the power. God gives us the insight to recognize that we have the ability to change the course of history. for ourselves, for our family, for our community, and for the entire world. And when we just say no, I'm not showing up for testing. I do not test. I don't wear a mask. I'm not going to get a vaccine. I don't have to explain it to anybody. I'm already saying no. I'm already out of the system. Their hold on me to now tell me to go get the third vaccine, the fourth vaccine, and to test three times a week. What hold do they have on me if I haven't even shown up for one test? That's on an individual level. My kids see that. My children see that. My community sees that. Then I can communicate with people. We're having this conversation now, which is so important. And that's just one person, one example of recognizing where does that strength comes from? Because God created us in His image. He gave us a divine soul. Every human being has a divine soul that has the ability to connect with the infinite power of godliness that is about love. It's about bringing goodness to the world and bringing goodness to humanity. So I can't figure out a whole plan about how to dismantle all these people that have taken over the World Health Organization and the CDC and the Ministry of Health in Israel and all these countries and their police forces and all that kind of stuff. But I don't have to. I just have to remember not to give up hope, to constantly take the next action, to smile at somebody, to be loving to them, to understand the torture they're in. When you see someone in a store, working in a store for 8 hours with a mask, they're being tortured. They're being tortured terribly. Have mercy on them, even if they're screaming at me, but show compassion because they're in a terrible situation. We can affect that. And then, of course, all of us working together on bigger things like this Zoom and reaching the world as a whole is also a tremendous inspiration for people and sends out a message. We have a Holocaust survivor. We have a German doctor and a Orthodox Jewish rabbi, a Hasidic Jewish rabbi talking together here to save humanity. That is so inspiring to me. And that's why I wanted this to happen. And I hope it's inspiring to other people also. And everyone knows that we can't see all the good people doing all the good things around the world, but we know they're there. We know they're being given inspiration. We know that God is giving them the strength, like the president of Tanzania, who had the foresight to turn off the televisions or make it less accessible. There are good people doing that all over the world, and we need to pray for them. We need to pray that God give us the strength and the insight to not despair, to continue, and to know that we may not see how our little action today is having an effect, but to know it is having an effect. It's inspiring other people, and hopefully we'll see hundreds of thousands and millions of videos like this. So I want to give Mrs. Sharava a chance to share your thoughts about where's the hope, and how do we harness that hope, and how do we bring about a redemption for the entire world?
I just want to add another vignette from the Nazi time, and that's the King of Denmark. When the Jews were ordered to wear the Star of David, he donned the Star of David and walked with the Jews. That's what's missing, you know? I mean, some governors now in the United States who are challenging, that's a good sign. It's what is so disheartening now is that the most entrenched, the worst, really, essentially, those who are embracing fascism are the previously liberal progressives. The Democratic Party is now everywhere in the United States, I mean, unapproachable. They are so totally committed doing their part in this huge, huge undertaking. And it's only in individual states, mostly Republican governors. It's a big surprise to a lot of us. But we need to reach out. I think one of the things that happened after all through 2020 was Trump. You know, a force that really wrenched the country apart, kind of. What people, though, need to understand is that the people who voted for Trump, it wasn't because they loved Trump. It's because they have been enraged about government takeover slowly, especially since 2008. And they're waiting. They are the ones who are saying no to the vaccines. They're the ones who don't want to wear masks. They need to be reached out to because they do kind of think for themselves. Many of them are not university educated, which says a great deal. In other words, they are still capable of evaluating, making their own decisions. And as they would say, oh, I don't listen to that bullshit. That's terribly important. Americans used to be thought of really and thought of themselves as independent, as never mind what everybody in Europe is doing, never mind what New York is doing. We know what we... And all that seems to have dissipated, except it really hasn't. I think that if we can galvanize, if we can reach out to those masses, and this is almost half the country of the United States, that's a lot of people. They're the ones that need to be reached, to be brought out, to be able to have a real march on Washington. And that includes African Americans, especially, because they have been the underclass within the public health system since always. Okay? Up until now, the worst experiments in medicine and the worst kind of medical care that was received was by African Americans in the United States. So they too, they are suspicious. Those are the people that I would say need to be reached out to and to get that mask, because unfortunately that we're already at such a late stage where they, as you see, Bill Gates is already talking about one after the other after the other. Yeah, the plans are a continuing cash flow. And also those people understand, they understand the corruption and they understand that they are being lied to. They don't believe government. A CNN reporter went into a restaurant, I think it was in Colorado or Oklahoma. And he asked, so how many are going to take the shot? Raise your hands. Nobody raised their hands. So he said, nobody raised their hand. So he started to go from table to table to ask, gee, you know, the scientists say, and how come? And the first one said, I don't believe what government says. I don't trust government. Goes to the next. Finally, he goes to a table and he bends down. He says, what about if Donald Trump told you it was so important for you to take this shot? What would you do then? And the guy looked at him and said, why the hell should I listen to Donald Trump? See, there is a myth that they are totally linked and beholden and admire Donald Trump. No, no, no. They went after him because he spoke the language that they felt was the others were denigrating them. They despised the idea that they were constantly being told what to do, what to think, how to educate their children, all the different things that they despised and that really treated them as not on the level of the ones giving the orders. Or as Hillary Clinton said, the deplorables, the basket of deplorables. They didn't forget that. And I think they really need to be reached out to because they're a real big faction and that could... If the United States stops this, it'll stop. In that sense, I think we still have that kind of influence and leadership in the world.
Yes, I think that's very, you know, it's so important to talk about outreach to other people. And we're talking about the United States, and obviously there are people like that who are naturally or from their upbringing skeptical and think for themselves. But I also want to applaud Dr. Schiffman for going to Africa, because when I saw the United Nations say that they expected there were going to be 300,000 deaths from coronavirus, this is sometime, I think, in last April and May, I was like, oh my God, they're going to try to institute the same medical tyranny and the same rushing everyone into the hospitals, the same fear, and just eliminate these people.
Yeah.
And thank God, you know, some of the presidents of these different countries saw that, and they said, no, we're not going down into this fear-mongering hole, and they were able to change direction. So we might say, okay, well, what's Tanzania? It's 52 million people. That's huge, because what their example is, first of all, it's 52 million precious human beings, which we need to save. But in addition, even though they're not on the same size of influence as the United States and the same, you know, 350 million people and so forth, but still, if one country in Africa changes direction, it's going to inspire other countries to do the same thing. Even if the governments are not part of it, as long as the people don't show up and participate in this system of tyranny, that is so important. So I want to applaud you, Dr. Schiffman, for, you know, going from the comforts of Europe to really be on the front lines of humanity in Africa. And we could really save these people, because the infrastructure is not yet so built over there like it is. Why is Israel the first target of this, putting genetic code modifications into people's bodies? Because they have the medical infrastructure. That's they right. have the system of everyone going for their checkups. They have this public-private cooperative measures that you talked about before, Mr. Sharav, that is getting everyone to go to these kupat, what they call kupat cholim, these different little medical clinics. And everyone goes, everyone trusts the doctor, everyone does it. There's a whole mentality over there, and everyone's part of it.
Yes.
So that's why they've been able to turn Israel into this place of getting almost everyone to take this injection. Whereas in Africa, thank God, they don't have that type of system. You may say, oh, well, if they had a better system, they would have less heart conditions. I don't know that that's the case, because the real danger is from the state coming to kill people. 500 million human beings killed over the last 100 years by the governments in this world is far more dangerous than all the diseases put together. So they're better off with that. And although the Gates Foundation and these people have tried to come in and push the vaccines and all kinds of health measures and abortion ideas and family planning ideas and so forth, still there is still hope over there. And I'm just so grateful to Dr. Schiffman. You gave me such an inspiration. I actually tried to reach out back then to the president of Tanzania. Wasn't able to contact him. I tried from different angles, because I just thought what he was doing was so important to give hope to people by not giving in to the groupthink. Go ahead, Dr. Schiffman. Don't forget to unmute.
Yes. I think it's, I can understand with what Mrs. Sharas Rodvira says, and that she is afraid that we don't can come back, and that you have to march to the thing. I don't think that the way is to march on the streets. You have to give hope, and you have to give confidence, and you have to stop the fear. As soon as we have stopped the fear, everybody who has lost the fear that he will die on this disease will never come back to the story. And he will not get again in this trap. He won't will agree to a new plan. So people need to know that there are experts around the world and that there are examples. And therefore, I'm so thankful for Mr. Magufuli. That he has given an example which you can show. You can show and everybody can see, okay, this isn't true what they are telling. And it doesn't depend on the US. It depends on every state. If I just imagined and also taught in my chat group, the people which want to leave Germany, maybe it's a kind of an interesting protest if they are taking just one hand luggage and they are going like refugees to the border of Switzerland. Every people in Germany take hand baggage and go to the border of Switzerland. Oh, this will cause interest. This is not a rally. This is not a demonstration. This is something which shows what happens here. And this is something which will have impact because the people from Switzerland, they don't want the Germans to be there. And maybe this is a nice way to do something. Never done this before. Or the people from Austria, they're also going to Switzerland. And so this could be an interesting move to get interest in the thing. So why are people fleeing from all the inhabitants from Africa want to come to Germany, and now all Germans are leaving to Switzerland? Funny. So I see there is much hope. There is no point of getting resignated, but I also think the people in Germany are in danger right now. More than in other countries. In America, I've seen 22 governors has turned against the Biden administration. There is an ongoing election looking after with ultraviolet light and something like this. So in America, there are also states where there will be no passports, and there are schools which are not allow teachers who are vaccinated to go to the classroom to the children. So there are many, many things right now changing. And I think we will succeed. We have to go on. We have to make these videos. We have to make these interviews. We have to inform people and to show them that we are not interested, that we don't share interests like Mr. Gates has. Mr. Gates, he gets profit from it. Mr. Bezos the same, Mr. Zuckerberg's the same, and Mr. Schwab the same. They all have a profit from this. So right. What is our special profit from this? What is the profit of Mrs. Sharaf, Mr. Rabbi Yitzchok, or me? So we are going out against a government, a world government, and we are bringing ourselves in danger. So I think this also causes people to say, okay, why is he doing this? I think we will succeed. So we have to be a little bit positive to show the people that there is hope, that there is light at the end of the tunnel, and that we will win this fight against. And this will be the last fight, and we will stop fascism, and we put them all out of their businesses. Oh. And when this is over, I will... personally, my aim is every doctor who has given a patient this vaccination will never be a doctor. This is one thing. I'm not a politician, and I don't want to be a politician. This is not what I want to do, but I would like to be a judge. I would like to be an investigator. I would like to be someone who takes care of pharmacy and who takes care of medicine and who takes care of the education of people who want to study medicine, so that they are learning the truth, and that they are learning to be skeptical, and that they are learning that this is a science. It's a science which is fun. It's fun to be a doctor. I like my job, but you have to do it by yourself. You have to investigate. You have to always question yourself if this can be true. And this is from the beginning. One point I always mentioned, normally, science is thesis, antithesis, synthesis. This is what has to happen. No, there was thesis and thesis and thesis. No antithesis, no synthesis. This is what makes me suspect. And then I start to search. And so many, many people I know did the same. Interestingly, in this is the role of the TV again. When you ask people which have recognized that here's something going wrong, then normally these are people who are not watching TV.
Right.
That's the thing. Right. But I think we can trust. We can trust in our Father. We can trust in God. And He will help us when we trust in Him, when we trust in vaccinations, when we trust in politicians, and when we trust in TV sets, we will die.
Well, I think it's so important what you're saying, that going for the hope, because if you look in the Torah, it talks about how in the times of Egypt, that the repression of the Egyptian government got worse. even after God sent Moses to Paro and said to him, let my people go so they could serve me on Mount Sinai, it everything looked like it was getting worse. But we have to realize that God is running the entire world, and he's running the people that are doing the bad things also. He's putting them in their minds, these ideas to do these things. So it's not that the force of evil doesn't have any independent power. Everything is under the control of God Almighty. We get a chance. Our free choices decide, are we going to go with the appearances of things look bad and out of hand and negative, and therefore we're just going to go into retreat mode? Or, like we're talking about in this call here, are we going to go into a mode of expansion, expand the world's population? We want 80 billion human beings. We want people to be free to make their own choices, free to bring children into the world. We want people to be the economic abundance in this world. The United States alone has enough food production to feed the entire world. It's only because of the interference of small-minded human beings that prevents that food from getting to every single person in the world. So once we realize that God is really providing the abundance for us, and he'll provide the abundance for 80 billion people in incredible ways that we can't even imagine. Once we realize that, I think we have to reaffirm that every day. Every day is a new day. Every thought, we have a choice to go to the thoughts of despair, God forbid, or thoughts of hope and positivity, even if we can't explain how it's all going to work out. And like it says over here in the Torah, it says in the book of Exodus, in chapter 15, verse 26, when God, after the crossing of the Red Sea, God said, "Ki ani Adonai Rafecha," for I am the Lord, your healer. That our healing is coming from God. That requires, to live that way, it really requires an act of putting aside our complicated thinking. Because when a person's having, a health issue, they are certain that the only way they need something. They can't imagine just letting go and saying, "God, you will take care of me. Please, God, heal me." It's an act of letting go of our illusion that we control the world, that we control everything that happens to us. We can control all the outcomes. So God is telling us he's the one who's the healer, not all the potions and not all the equipments and all the things and injections that they want to tell us. God is going to heal us. God is going to take care of us. And we see he is. Like you said before, 99.9% of the people are healed just from the miraculous living system that we are. Community of living organisms inside our own body that is able to go through the world successfully is just miraculous. So I also agree with Dr. Shiffman. I think that we have to have our eyes open. We have to understand history. We have to see what the plans are. We can't hide ourselves from that. But at the same time, we just have to trust and know that God Almighty is guiding us to bring forth a voice of hope to humanity. And really, Dr. Shiffman, it's so important what you're saying, because I do believe that we need to take action and create voices of understanding where the tyranny is going. But even more important is what you're saying, that if we just uncouple people from the fear, that itself will help them so much more, because once they're not afraid, they're not going to be afraid of the police officer, they're not afraid of the government, they're not afraid of the doctors, they're not afraid of the pharmaceutical companies, and they're not afraid. See, you and I and Mrs. Sarov, we could come up with a lot of discussions about the statistics and the numbers and all these different details, but at the end of the day, the side that wants to create fear will always come up with new numbers, a new condition, a new disease, a new pandemic that's going to scare people. So we can't keep up with them in that sense. And they're constantly propagandizing. The key is, once you say to people and once you inspire people that there's nothing to be afraid of, both in a health way and in our health and also in terms of the fear of their power, then people are no longer, they're checking out of the system. And now they are free to live a happy life. And we have to remember that for ourselves also. Because I was driving to work today, I was like, we're thinking about this call we're going to have. It's like, we have to remember to see the beauty in God's creation. We have to remember to see the beauty in the flowers. We cannot allow the fears that we have and the ominous pictures of what their plans are start to cloud our vision of the beauty of creation, the beauty of other human beings, the beauty of the flowers, the birds, the the beautiful world, the water, the waterfalls that Hashem is creating every instant. That is where the answer lies. And I'll give you each a chance to say some concluding words, but I just really think that that's so important to remember. And I wanted to share with you the chapter 23 of the book of Psalms, the King David, who at the moment when he was dying of thirst and he was dying of hunger and he had nothing in the world, and he still said, Psalm chapter 23, a psalm for David, "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." God is taking care of us. He leads me by the green pastures and by the still waters. And what does it say over here? He says, "Even though I walk in the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil because you are with me." Meaning to say, when he sees the scary shadows of the light looking like it's blocked out, he knows that God is still with him and that God is with each one of us. And that I'm just so happy we had the opportunity to meet together and provide hope and inspiration. I feel so inspired from this call and to hear from each one of you and really to provide inspiration for the 8 billion human beings that God is so beautifully creating every instant. So, Mrs. Shrove, do you have some concluding thoughts you want to share?
Only to realize that, yes, each one of us can make a difference by inspiring someone else. Some of it is going to happen very individually, slowly. Some is going to be more in an organized level. But we really are the majority. And we really need to understand that it's a very small minority that's holding the world hostage. We need to break that Gordian knot. And yes, each one of us has more power than we think. Maybe very frightening, you know, very few people like to go out of the crowd, but this is just so important because there won't be a human civilization if we don't stand up. Just, we have to remember, they are very few. Their main strength is by keeping people paralyzed by fear. And really, as President Roosevelt said, you have nothing to fear but fear itself. So this has been over and over. Tyrants use this method to strangle people, to just have them follow like sheep. We can't follow like sheep.
Amen. Dr. Schiffen.
Yes. What we are facing is the evil. The evil has fear from love, from joy, and even for belief. The first thing when this thing started, it was Eastern. And after Easter, there's Ramadan. These are the highest fasts in the Christian and in the Muslim world. And they have fear because people are getting together in religious groups. They are talking. They are eating together. They give each other informations. This is what they fear most, that we talk to each other, that they can listen to each other, that we are smiling, that we have fun. And the other they are fearing are the kids, because the kids, this is life. It's a new generation, new ideas. They are able to look through lies very easy. But you might not know, I'm a magician. So when I studied medicine, I earned my money as a magician. And this is something when the magician doesn't believe in that he can do something magic, then he will not succeed. You have to believe in what you are doing. And the hardest the people which are the hardest to impress are the kids. It's very simple to make tricks for adults. It's very difficult to fool a kid. So they have to be blocked out. So we have to do this, what mankind is supposed to do. We have to love our children. We have to see them smile. We have to be. And this, you remind me of this, David, when you had your words, when you say we have to be like a kid. We have to go out and we have to look at the beautiful sun, the beautiful trees, flowers, and the wonder of the nature. And we have to trust. We have to trust in God. We have to trust in ourselves. We have to trust in faith. And then there will open a way. This is also when the people are leaving Israel with Moses, and then they lose the faith. And then there was the golden cow or golden calf. This is the same as this vaccination. And maybe when we talk to each other, different religions, different cultures, this will make a difference. That's what I want to say to this.
Oh, man, that's so beautiful. And, you know, it's interesting you were saying about the holidays that came right at the beginning of this. Even before that, there's Passover. And before 1 month before Passover, last year in March, is the holiday of Purim. Mm-hmm. And Purim is the holiday of the Book of Esther, when Ahasuerus, the king of Persia, was manipulated by the infiltrators who infiltrated into the government. A very small minority, like Mrs. Sharab was saying earlier, we are the majority. This minority of conspirators infiltrated into the Persian government to try to use the entire Persian mechanism of the government to carry out their evil plans to try to stop the rebuilding of the temple in Jerusalem and try to destroy the Jewish people, God forbid. And so what's the key thing about Purim is getting together. Like you were saying, we get together to hear the Book of Esther read. We get together for meals together. We go to each other's houses and give gifts of food. We give gifts of money to the poor. And it's a tremendous, tremendous celebration of getting together. So what did the fearmongers do? They tried to threaten everyone that this was spreading the disease, that people should stop. They shut down many communities. They shut down the synagogues. They didn't even get together to read the Book of Esther. They did not get together to have the meals or to exchange the gifts of food and exchange the gifts of money, or, you know, to give gifts to the poor. So this is what their real target is. The real target is preventing people from getting together. And then when it came to Passover time, instead of these synagogues having massive communal seders, the night of Passover, the seder, instead of people having guests over, the Passover is the time you bring the poor people into your house to make sure they have everything to eat. They were able to, God, a terrible tragedy. They were on a cosmic level to shut that down and prevent, through fear, prevent people from getting together to celebrate and to exchange ideas and to talk about what slavery is like and what freedom is like and how do we get from slavery to freedom, which is always the only way to get to freedom from physical slavery. Is first we have to become free from spiritual slavery. And they really work to prevent that from happening. So that war against human interaction is really the key cornerstone. And that's what we have to remember. And we have to re-inculcate that in ourselves and recognize that the most important thing is to get together. To get together with other people, to help other people, and with the love and the caring and the kindness for every human being, that's what's going to bring us out of ourselves and bring us into a place of joy and redemption for all of humanity. So I want to thank you both so much for coming together with this. I think this was a dream I had already for a number of months, and I just think it's so important to provide people with this inspiration. We have this kind of multi-generational experience here of recognizing those that have gone through what humanity is capable in its worst of in its worst moments when they lose sight of God. And here we are together trying to bring humanity back on track to recognize that there's divine gifts for us. There's everything. God is providing everything we need. And the first thing we can be free of is fear. I just love that. If we can just be free of the fear, the details don't matter anymore. Doesn't matter what they're trying to scare us with. Doesn't matter how much we know about any particular subject. We just know that if they're coming to scare us, automatically it's falsehood. If they're coming to tell us there's shortage, automatically it's falsehood. And I think that's such a beautiful lesson to take from this. I wanted to, Mrs. Shrav, I know you have a very important website. And if you'd like to give the information for that, the address, so people who want to read more about you, hear more of the important message you have against medical experimentation on people. What's that website?
It's the Alliance for Human Research Protection. And the website is www.ahrp.org. This has been pretty much a lifetime mission, which is to ensure that the Hippocratic Oath and the Nuremberg Code are actually being followed, that medical interventions must only be done with the informed consent of the person.
Well, God should bless you for that, and you should have a success. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's really, that's been the focus. And what I found to my horror, I began this really with an experiment that was sent to me from the American Journal of Psychiatry, in which in the United States, at the Veterans Hospital in the Bronx, they took 28 veterans who had been diagnosed with schizophrenia, but they were in remission. They were living in the community. They took them in and gave them L-DOPA in order to record how long it would take them to have a psychotic relapse. Okay? This was a government-sponsored, funded experiment. I couldn't believe it. This was the first time that I thought of, again, the Nazi experiments. Okay, this was around 1990. I checked with two psychiatrists that I had come already in contact with and asked them very simply, am I reading this correctly? Because I never read a scientific article before. And they said, yes. Well, that's how I began, in a sense, the career of filing complaints with the federal government. And sure enough, it took them 4 years to ascertain that my reading of it was correct. And they did find that this was done. And the trouble is, though, I pointed out earlier, that with the Nuremberg Code, some doctors were held accountable. Whenever these kind of scandals come out, whether it's Tuskegee or whether it's killing little infants, premature infants in an experiment, nobody is held accountable. That's one of the problems. That this is terribly important to understand, that once a doctor is really a government agent, there's no accountability because the government protects the doctor. And I also want to say that let's remember, real doctors, honest doctors, you can put the entire history of medicine on the table, have never caused as much ravages, have killed as many people as public health policies. You can have an incompetent doctor, but how many people is he going to harm? But you have a government initiative and you can kill tens of thousands in a shot. Very important for people to understand that no, do not trust public health officials to guide your medical or health, what you follow. An individual doctor not connected to the government is more trustworthy, most likely is more trustworthy.
Well, thank you for reminding us of that, and that's so important. And so that's www.ahrp.org, everyone who's watching could visit that and see the important organization, important work over there, and support what Mrs. Sharab is doing, really to bring this awareness to humanity. There's so many of these experiments going on, and now we're in this huge experiment called the genetic code injection. So Dr. Schiffman, do you have a website with something that people could read more about you, watch more of your videos and so forth?
Yes, my website is on Telegram, Alles Außer Mainstream, written with a double S. You find it when you go to boshimo@boshimo.de. Then you will be redirected there, boshimo.de, not as a www, boshimo, like Bodo Schiffman, boschimo.de. And then you will be redirected to Telegram and corona-ausschuss.de, corona-ausschuss with a double S in the middle, .de.
Okay, and then when you post this, maybe you can put that spelling in the links below the video so people can, you know, if they didn't get it correctly, so that'd be helpful. And I have a website called saveourfreedoms.org, which was really came as a result of writing a letter explaining to rabbis how they've been misled and how Judaism has been co-opted by this whole public health ideology, coming to say that all of Judaism should be put aside in order to implement the public health policies and public health ideology. We don't have the time to get into it. We could spend a long time talking about all the ways in which they've infiltrated these ideas. And one of the ways, Mrs. Sharab, they've done that tremendously successfully in the Jewish community is trying to tell rabbis that they have to defer to medical doctors on every issue, and turning over traditional Jewish life to medical doctors and medical committees. Really, in the school system, every school now has a medical committee. It's a horrific implementation of the public health control system by convincing people that this is the, as they've done in every community, trying to convince them that this public health emergency and this public health solutions that they're calling for is the highest ideals of Torah. So therefore, it's kind of like you have the Torah, and then they say, okay, and that's, now we have the public health ideas that is takes precedence over everything else. Close the synagogues, close the schools, no family gatherings, no, all the things that I mentioned briefly in the discussion of Purim. This is what they're trying to implement. And even going to the core of the ability of a husband and wife to have children is now being openly discussed in Israel with the Ministry of Agriculture saying that there should be limits put on the number of children had by families. This is the depravity, and it's been done through confusing people. I'll just finish on this one point. You know, the whole concept of the genetic code injection, the mRNA vaccine, is through using deception. It's actually a very clever attempt to try to deceive the human body. So what do? They take the code and they hide it within some sort of substance that is now going to go into the body. And that code is then going to infiltrate itself into the cells and trick the cells into producing a part of a spike protein to then trick the body into attacking it and creating, allegedly is going to create antibodies. So if you think about the level of deception that's involved here, it's the deception, deceiving the person into taking it in the first place, letting it be injected, then deceiving the cells into integrating this into the either DNA, mRNA process, or into the mRNA process, depending on which vaccine it is, and then deceiving the whole system. So if you think about this for a second, the type of mind that is able to conceive and conjure up a whole process of deception, this is exactly what they're using in their entire process. So they are coming along to a rabbi and to other people from other communities also, and they're tricking them by inserting into the code, the language of the Torah, a language of the Bible, and saying, this public health ideology is going to present itself as if it's somehow the real understanding of Torah, the real understanding of God's will, and therefore this is what you have to get everyone in your congregation and your community to do. using the same deception concept. It's built into the way they operate. It's all through deception. So that was a long point to bring out that I started this website, saveourfreedoms.org. And I also have a channel on YouTube called Hope for Humanity, where we talk about really trying to get ourselves and all of humanity back to the understanding of the oneness of God, that there's nothing besides God, because that's really where the answer to the fear is. And we also have a website called CourseForLeaders.com, where we took Torah principles, eternal Torah principles about leadership, how to lead yourself, how to lead your family, how to be able to stand up in the face of fear, transcend the fear, and bring your neighbors together to really live without fear and to live in the face of people who are trying to spread fear, but really to spread hope. CourseForLeaders.com. So those are a couple of things, and I'll send those to you, Dr. Schiffman. So when you post this on your site, you could have those links and so forth. But when I started the Hope for Humanity channel, I was like, we've got to spread hope, because that's what's really contagious. This is really the contagious. Hope is the ultimate contagious. It can never be eradicated, like Viktor Frankl discovered in the concentration camps so beautifully. And this is what we each one of us has, and it cannot be. We can get muddied up and distracted and tired, and you know, every once in a while we have our tears to shed and so forth. But in reality, we'll constantly come back out from us that divine hope and really help all of humanity get through this and get like Dr. Schiffman, I love what you're saying. It's that this will be the final battle. You know, it's not there's a Third Reich and a Fourth Reich and a Fifth Reich. This is the end of these attempts to confuse humanity and to get us into the cult of scarcity and to believe that there's not enough. And if we can get to the core issue, which is that we've got to connect ourselves and every human being to the unlimited power and the unlimited oneness of God Almighty, there's no fear. After that, they're done. They're just going to wither out of existence because they have no one to control anymore. And they themselves are only a very few people. So what are they going to do? They're going to sit around and talk about how there's no one to be able to implement their ideas anymore once people are no longer afraid of them and what they're trying to scare them with. So that's our prayer. Our prayer to God Almighty is that he should give us the strength and all the people that we're reaching and all the people that don't even know that we're doing this video, but that will, they have their own inspiration. They have their own hope. It's something that we can't give that to anybody, because, you know, hope comes from within us. We can only show by example. And show that here we are, and we're sending our prayers and our love to every single human being that's watching this and every single human being that exists. And God willing, we should be truly, God should be successful in changing the hearts of humanity, which he can, and he will. And that will bring about, just life is so simple. If we would just stop making it complicated, we can all have a very, very beautiful, good life. So I want to thank you so much for participating, Mrs. Sharav and Dr. Schiffman. It's really been a blessing to spend this time with you. And I feel bad for Dr. Schiffman, because he offered to the viewers to translate this into German. And I don't know if he knew at the outset how much time we were going to be spending together. It's almost 3 hours. But God should give you the strength to do that and really bring this message to as many people as possible. So thank you. Okay, thank you both. God bless you both.